Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the season, and what we expect with the upcoming game against the Kings.
Yeah, we've got, like Mark and I have said a couple times, we've got three games against the Kings in the next 5 or 6 days, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. We got a lot of those games with them. Only 13 days are left in the season right now. We're starting to watch how everything is unfolding, and it's starting to get exciting. To be honest, I am pumped about these last few games because this is going to be the last Thunder basketball we're going to watch for quite a while. So if you're like us, enjoy it. You know, look at each of the players that are playing well and just be able to watch those guys and be able to observe what they're doing.
100%, man. That's what we're here to do. And, you know, we're going to appreciate the fact that there's still some basketball to watch. Pretty soon it's going to be gone. So we're going to enjoy it while it's here. Thank you so much for joining us. Here we go. Now, before we get started, Dave, I just wanted to, you know, bring something up. I've heard a lot of people try to kind of talk a little bit about the difference between tanking and rebuilding, and I thought of a pretty good analogy. Tanking and rebuilding are kind of like the difference between beef patty, like a burger patty, and a cow patty. You know, in the end, a cow patty is just a big pile of poop, and burger patty is something that's pretty fucking awesome and you can eat. They both come from the same animal, but there's a big fucking difference in what we're talking about here. And for the people who are still like, I don't really understand the difference between tanking and rebuilding, well, rebuilding includes being a big pile of poop. And I mean, tanking includes being a big pile of poop. Rebuilding does not. Rebuilding is a process. And if anybody wants to sit there and say that we have tanked this year, if you could really actually only tank for one single month out of a year, you know, that would be pretty amazing, but that's just not possible. For most of the year, though, we were really fighting to get to 500. We were hovering around it, and it was just the month of April that we had a rash of injuries, and we fell off the cliff. But in the end, we are not tanking. We are rebuilding, and anybody who's trying to tell you that we're tanking, well, they're trying to sell you a cow patty as if it's a burger patty.
Yeah, and I've looked back and I've looked at teams that have tanked in the past. It's a multi-year process. It's not a one-year process. It takes multiple years because the first year you trade all your assets for picks. Then your second year you start drafting players and you're still trading any of the leftover assets for more picks. And then you spend the next 3 years not being good. So you're talking about, and then the rebuild starts at year 5 of tanking, at year 4 of tanking. There is no successful tank for 1 year at all. And that's what Mark and I have been saying all year around, is if you look at the injuries that we've had, is SGA's played in 35 games, Al Horford in 28, Dort 49, Baisley 49, Ty 31, Theo 59, which is second on the team. Still not all the games. Mike Muscala, 35. Sfi, who came in, has played an old 25 games since coming to the team. I think he might have sat one or two. Isaiah Roby, 54. That's third on the team, right? You're starting to get understand, like, all these guys have missed. Moses Brown, obviously 36 because he played with the G League. Kenny Hustle is the only guy that's played in every single game. He has played in 64 games this year. Everybody else hasn't played very much. And to me, it's just unfortunate. Injury has taken over this team and has dismantled this team. That is not by any stretch of the imagination because we are faking injuries and we're not allowing players to play so we get a better draft pick. Are we being cautious with SGA and could he be playing right now? Maybe. But why rush it? This doesn't make sense right now. Right now, rushing him back from injury would be stupid. It would be unbelievably unintelligent because we're sitting on a spot that we could get a decent draft pick right now. And the reality is that getting SGA back would help us get a couple more wins. But man, honestly, he's better to sit and get healthy, work out harder, get stronger for next season. And that's something that Mark and I said the moment that SGA went out was, if this needs to be for the rest of the year, this should be for the rest of the year. He should not push this. He should not try to get back early, because this is something that could really hinder his career for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get to October at the beginning of the season next year and have rested the whole time, that's great. He's the one player on the team that really wouldn't necessarily benefit from minutes right now. Bazley, Dort, both of those guys are really benefiting from those minutes. And if they're benefiting, then everybody else is benefiting. And it's been fun to watch. We got the Kings coming up. The Kings have been struggling recently, but they have a good team. They are not great by any stretch of the imagination, but when they're rolling, they're tough to beat. And I think that they're going to give us a good game. I'm excited about the possibility. I think the matchups will be fun. And, you know, what the fuck? Let's ball. I mean, if we play like we played against the Suns, then we have a chance to win, and we should win. If we play like we did against the Pacers, then we can't beat anybody. I think a lot of it has to do with Lu Dort, the defensive intensity, the way that we defend the perimeter with him out there. That's where it all starts. But obviously, the Pacers were also making shots. We can't just blame it on one player not being there. But I do believe that bringing the pressure and guarding the perimeter is where modern defenses start, and Dort is the best in the league at doing that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, last night I watched a gruesome injury by one of the Kings players. I don't know, man. It was a non-physical contact injury. He was coming across half court and he cut. His leg slipped out from under him and his knee completely hyperextended. Those are the type of injuries that really fuck with people's careers. It's really sad. You know, here's the thing about an injury like that is that either A, it dismantles your team, or B, it motivates them. It will be interesting to see how they come out. You know, I'm going to say OKC for the win tomorrow. And I'm going to say that OKC wins by 10, 15 points, because right now I think the Kings are just in disbelief of what just happened.
Oh, so is Haliburton. I guess he was the one who got hurt. He's a really special rookie, has had a really, really good year, surprised a lot of people. A lot of people felt like he should have gone higher in the draft after he's been so so effective. I haven't had a chance to read this article, but just a glance said that he was able to avoid any major injury. So
that's a
positive thing. But yeah, I mean, he's one of their better players, so not having them puts them at a disadvantage. But I still think we're going to have to come out and play our game, defend like we mean business. And in the end, you know, whatever happens, happens. We play them three times in the next five games. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of going back and forth. I don't know who will and won't play. I know that it's going to be interesting because we've been kind of staggering who goes. You know, recently Dort has been playing in the second half of back-to-backs, not the first half. But this is different. I think when we play the same team three times, there's a chance that we could do some creative staggering with our lineups, but I'm not exactly sure what, just I expect it to be creative.
Yeah, and again, like at this moment in the season, like I don't want to say our guys are going, our coaches are going to intentionally tank or anything like that. They will not. But right now, they are going to be looking at player development. They're going to be looking at Sfi. Is he going to be worth the money to spend off this off year? They're going to be looking at Tony Bradley. Yes, his minutes have shrunk, but they're still going to look at him. They're going to be looking at Theo. Where does he belong in this lineup for the future? They're going to be looking at Ty. Ty is great. Is he a better shooting guard or is he a better point guard? Bazley. Where does Bazley fit? He's a great center when it comes to small ball, and he also can play this power forward like a motherfucker. Like, where does he belong? These are the questions that we're going to try to figure out and try to get to the bottom of. And the reality is Lu Dort is now our second best scorer on the team. That is even when SGA comes back. I have no doubt in my mind that Dort next season is going to be an 18 to 20 point player a game person. Right now, he leads the team in points for the season. He is averaging 14.2. And that is just unbelievable. He's played in 14 more games than SGA. But the reality is Dort has more points than anybody else on the team right now because of the amount of games that he has played, averaging 14.2. So there's no way in the world that you can look at me or anybody else and say Dort is not going to be averaging at least 4 to 5 points higher next year than he was at the end of this year. That is exciting to me.
Yeah, man. And for me, what really pumps me up is when I look at the three-point shooting percentage of the individual players. As a team, it's not necessarily impressive at all, but Kenny Williams, 43%. SGA, just under 42%, and the same with Ty Jerome. So three players shooting over 40% from deep, that's exceptional. I love to see that. And, you know, the question is, with a player like Ty Jerome and Kenny Williams, like, can you scale that up if you increase the usage? That's always the question. Lou Dort, his three-point percentage is just under 35%. That's exceptional. I think that's exceeded everybody's expectations. And Théo Maledon, also just under 35%. You got to look at him and wonder what he's capable of now that he will have time to practice and prepare. Svi Mihailuk, 34%. Isaiah Roby, 32.5%. Both those players have an opportunity to really improve. I think if they can get up over 35%, then they will have to be guarded. And for Isaiah Roby, we've talked about that a lot. If he can force defenses to close out on him, there's going to be opportunities. And Darius Bazley right now is averaging about 29% from deep. He has good form. He has good rhythm. So that's something that we know will go up with time. So, you know, obviously having those three players with 40% or over 40%, then having that middle group, and that middle group is full of such young players, Lou Dort, Théo Maledon, Darius Bazley, you know, and obviously Poku is a player who's, you know, needs to move up. He's at 26%, but I love his form. I love his confidence and the fact that he doesn't stop shooting. I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do this year. It was a tough start. He struggled really, really, really mightily through the middle of it, but he's continued to fight. He's going to be an exceptional player. And this, you know, the fact that 26% is very bad. I'm not saying that it's good, but it could be so much worse. You know, somebody who didn't have the capability to shoot out there would shoot far worse than 26%. And he has that capability. He's just had to figure out how to shoot in NBA games, and that's a difficult thing.
Yeah, man, and I got to throw this out here. One of our pure shooters this year has really surprised me. I mean, like, I knew he could shoot the ball from college, but obviously his shot last year was broken. But whatever was broken, the Thunder staff and Ty have done a great job fixing it. He's almost shooting at 42% from three-point range. He has unbelievable range. This is going to be a special player. If he keeps developing like he has developed in the first 2 years of his NBA career, this could be a guy that just shoots up the list and ends up starting on this team, because we can't help but not start him because he's that good. I know for a fact that Ty is going to be a very special player, but he is shooting at an unbelievable rate. He's averaging 5.1 three-pointers attempts a game that he plays and hitting 2.1. Unbelievable job by him. He's totally impressive, and I love the way he's playing.
Yeah, man, and shout out to Dakota for staying on top of that one. I had no clue Ty Jerome was the level of player he was, but Dakota stuck with him all the way at the G League and kept talking about it, and here we are. And it's hard to imagine a future with the Thunder without Ty Jerome being a part of it, because this team is predicated on the ability to shoot the ball, and he is one of the best on the team.
Yeah, and, you know, again, Dort's doing well, as like you said earlier, 34.7, and, you know, he's taking 6.3 attempts a game, hitting 2.2. Unbelievable job by Dort as becoming a scoring threat. Teams have to account for him. And this is not going to end this year. Next year, when SGA is healthy and whoever we pick up from the draft and everybody else is playing well, teams are going to have to account for where Dort is at all times. And that's going to create a massive issue for on the defensive side, especially with SGA driving to the hole like we saw earlier this year. Dort has figured out how to score by himself. He has figured out how to create a shot for himself this year, and that is all due to the fact that he has been counted on as being the main guy for this Thunder team when SGA has been out.
Yeah, and watching him step into that role, grow into that, it's uncomfortable at times. Last night, he really had trouble getting his shot off in a couple of situations, and that was difficult, but that's the type of thing that you need to go through. You have to struggle through that. You have to learn how to practice a quicker release, and he's going to figure that out. He's sort of, he gets very rigid when he goes into his shot, and so it's easy to predict, okay, Dort is going to shoot. That's why Harden was able to block his shot last year in the playoffs. That's why he got his shot blocked a couple of times last night. And when he can get to that fluid point where he's either shooting or ball faking and driving, and it looks like the same thing, then we're in business. And right now, the difference between his ball fake and, I mean, his shot fake and his drive, it's just pretty much, they're night and day. It's easy to tell that he's not going to shoot the ball when he does his fake. And when he starts shooting, he looks like a pitcher going into a windup. And it's easy to predict that he's actually going to shoot it. So that's what we got to figure out. And this year's been all about growth and maturity. And I've been impressed. And I'm really excited about seeing what happens next.
Absolutely, man. And again, we got a game tomorrow night that will be a fun game to watch. Obviously, we're playing against the Suns like we just did. That was a fight back game, especially being crushed like we did at home, which set an NBA record of losing at home. So again, I really expect the Thunder players to come out and play hard because nobody likes getting beat like that. It was embarrassing for everybody involved, fans, coaches, players, organization. But that's just part of the growing pains like Mark and I were talking about earlier. So just give these guys a break. Take it and enjoy the basketball games by picking out a player, to watch and dissect during the game. When he's out of the game, pick a different player. Learn to appreciate each of these players in the last few games. And I promise you, if you did it this way, you'll learn to appreciate it as much as Mark and I have through these last few weeks. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this team. I don't care that we are sitting in a top five draft position. To me, it's the future of this team that matters, and the future is incredibly fucking bright. So stay tuned for that. And Mark and I are going to make sure that we continue this podcast even in the off season. We're going to give you guys so many stats that you'll be sick of stats when we're done with it. But you guys will know this team inside and out, and it'll be really fun to be able to go through that with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be on top of this, and we have so many different ideas we keep bouncing around, about draft preparation and different things like that. I've been thinking a lot about, what is Sam Presti's type and how can we help identify these players? What is consistent about Bazley, Poku, Teo, these guys that he's drafted recently, and how can we help find the next one, at least help our fans be on top of it. We don't know who it's going to be, but we feel like we can look at ways to find maybe some market inefficiencies that Sam Presti might recognize. And basically what that comes down to is you have the known knowns and you have the known unknowns. And those known unknowns are really the key. If it's a player like Poku, he is full of known unknowns. Does he have the ability to get stronger? Can he play at the pace of the game? All these different things. But then with Bazley, what did we know about him? He was also full of known unknowns, right? But the known knowns were that he was big for his position. He could handle the ball. He could pass. He was agile. So when we have a player and it's like there's a lot of question marks about this player, we're going to zero in on that because we feel like there's an opportunity. Whereas if there's a player and it's like we pretty much know everything about this player, well, there's going to be a lot of market efficiency in that spot. And that's not what we're looking for. Sam Presti is constantly looking for market inefficiencies, places to find players that are better than the position that he's looking. And the way that comes up is through turning over rocks and finding players that nobody else recognized were special talents. Teo Maledon and Poku are two examples. Darius Bazley is another one. And we're going to try to find the consistency between those draft picks and how we can use that to project our next draft picks. And that's what we're all about. That on top of, we're going to take some time and we're going to break down each individual player's games and what we saw them progress over in the year. And if we were coaching them, what we would suggest that they work on and what their game can look like. We understand that nobody listens to us, but we feel like in the end, talking about what they can work on in conjunction with how they got better can kind of maybe kind of paint a vision for what their game could look like with this team as it goes forward. And obviously, when you combine all of this young rebuilding talent that we have with some really great picks in this really great draft, we're going to have a really exceptional year. So we're pumped up and we're so excited that you took the time to join us once again for The Last Storm.
Yeah, and I want to make this very fucking clear. We are not like those other podcasts. We are not going to geek out about all the possibilities of where our draft pick's going to land. We are going to look at the players individually. We're going to break them down. We are not going to be like the other podcasts and the aspect of like, ooh, what happens if Houston drops here and then we get their pick and then we get number two? We're not going to do that. We're going to break down players that we think are going to be available at the position that we are sitting at. And that is something that will be fun to watch and be fun to listen to for sure. So thank you again for listening to The Last Storm. My name is Dave.
And my name is Mark. We'll be back tomorrow. Thunder up.